From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, why have people just simply lost confidence in so much? Howard Bloom joins us later on tonight. Here's what's happening. Well, the nasty weather that has already left a mess on its march from California through Texas, now soaking the South and expected to ice up roads in the Northeast. This will spell a major disaster for holiday travelers, to be sure. And the 2013 Atlantic hurricane season, which officially ends on Saturday, had the fewest number of hurricanes since 1982, thanks in large part to a very persistent, unfavorable atmospheric conditions over the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, and tropical Atlantic Ocean. This year is expected to rank as the sixth least active Atlantic hurricane season since 1950 in terms of collective strength and duration of named storms and hurricanes. What's this all mean? Let's check in with the expert on the ice ages, Robert Felix, author of Not by Fire, but by Ice. Robert, strange year, isn't it?
It is very strange, George, and I think it has to do with the sunspots. You know that sunspots or activity is the lowest it's been in more than 100 years. You know, it's interesting. One of the things you had mentioned, the weather in Texas, but on November 22nd in 1962, or 63, when President Kennedy was assassinated, temperature was 67 degrees there, and he was riding around in a convertible. And this November 22nd, the temperature dropped to 36. It was 9 degrees below average. Then on the next day, it was on the 23rd, it was 34, 10 degrees below average. And tonight, if you've got anybody listening in Dallas, looks like it's going to drop down to 28 below freezing. I mean, it's going to be 28 degrees, 15 degrees below average. So I'm not seeing that global warming that we're talking about.
No.
I still think we're headed into an ice age.
A lot of pipes are going to burst in Dallas. Thanks, Robert. The U.S. consumer confidence fell in November as Americans worried about their future jobs and earning prospects, according to a private sector report there. And listen to this. U.S. borrowers are increasingly missing payments on home equity lines of credit that they took out during the housing bubble, a trend that could deal another blow to the country's biggest banks. The loans are a problem now because an increasing number are hitting their 10-year anniversary, at which point borrowers usually must start paying down the principal on those loans as well as the interest that they had been paying all along. Expert on housing, of course, investment advisor Catherine Austin Fitzback with us. Catherine, it seems like we're going right back into the same problem we were in 2008.
Well, George, you know, we never really cleared the problem. We've seen household income on an inflation-adjusted basis dropping steadily since 2007. So this is, you know, that we got a problem in the numerator, not just in the denominator. And, of course, with the housing market being down from the highs, lots of people are upside down. So if they have a variable rate or, you know, a second with a home mortgage equity line, they can't refinance and take advantage of these incredibly low rates. So, you know, there's still a lot of trouble there to be sorted out. And if you look at the numbers the big banks are talking about with the resets of the home equity lines, there's trouble ahead.
Can these banks sustain those kinds of losses?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at what the Fed has taken off their balance sheets with QE and then the bailouts, Absolutely they can sustain these kind of losses.
So that's why they keep doing this, isn't it?
Well, one of the things is, you know, it depends on whether they have it in their balance sheet or not. But to the extent that they've securitized or laid off the risk, they're getting the servicing income. And, you know, it may be our pension funds that are eating the losses. We don't know.
All right, Catherine, so much. Catherine's website, Solari.com. NASA's Mars rover Curiosity is back in action. After being sidelined for nearly a week by an electrical problem, the one-ton Curiosity rover resumed science operations a few days ago, 6 days after the mission engineers noticed an odd voltage change and stood the robot down to investigate. Next week, our science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, joins us. We'll talk about this and a number of other fascinating stories he's working on. in a moment. It's called The Healer's Handbook. We're going to talk about that and also psychic tales. Stuart Swerdlow back on Coast to Coast AM next. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Stuart Swerdlow with us, of course, a gifted medical intuitive. Stuart Swerdlow is a clairvoyant. He was recruited for specific government mind control experiments, which enhanced his natural abilities. And he spent years in service to various U.S. and foreign government agencies and special interest groups as well. We're going to check in with him right now. Stuart, how are you?
Hi, George. It's nice to see you again.
You too. 6 years. It's been 6 years.
Wow. My goodness. we have to make it sooner than that. From
good to have you back. Stuart, because it's been so long, and we've got a lot of new listeners who have joined the program over these years, tell us a little bit about you, what you went through, because you really did go through some things that a lot of people would never want to go through.
No, that's correct. I hope nobody ever goes through what I went through ever again. And, of course, many of your listeners know I was part of the Montauk Project in eastern Long Island from 1970 to 1983. And, of course, in the beginning, it was about mind control programming, and then it went into such things as time travel, weather manipulation, esoteric weaponry, and even opening the vortices and wormholes to other locations. So it was quite a comprehensive project, and I was used in that project because of my family background, which I'm not sure if your listeners know about it.
And it's been a very interesting background. We're going to get into that too, because you know, your family background's from the former Soviet Union, right?
Yes, that's correct. My great uncle Yakov Sverdlov was the first president of the Soviet Union. And his son, Alexei, actually started the KGB.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we've got Alexei to blame for some of that, huh?
Yes, unfortunately. And what I found even more interesting, which I discovered on my last trip to Russia in 2012, was that another uncle of mine, Yakov's brother Benjamin, actually started mind control in the Soviet Union back in the 1930s. So that's a very long history of programming and mind control.
And I would bet, Stuart, he was also involved in remote viewing, which was one of the things that got us interested in remote viewing as well.
Yes. In fact, the Soviets, even as far back as the 1920s, were quite fascinated with what we would call paranormal subjects, and they were interested in invisibility, cloaking, time travel, and even space travel back then. And they developed many technologies that the Germans were interested in, which is why the Soviet Union was attacked by Germany.
What's going on in Russia these days in terms of, because they really were advanced with paranormal research. Have they kind of backed off that now, Stuart?
The Russians are very much involved in the paranormal. They have a long history of that, but I'll tell you, to answer that question, what's going on in Russia right now, I truly feel that we're seeing the reinstitution or reconnection of the Soviet Union, but in a new way, not in the same way that it was. They've already started to reincorporate former satellites like Belarus. They have established troops in Ukraine. They're pulling Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan back into their sphere. And Putin has called for a pan-Euro-Asian economic union, which is another way of saying Soviet Union.
Is it conceivable that they'll pull back then most of the little nations that splintered off?
Well, this is why the little ones like Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania have all joined the EU, and now we're seeing rumors of that with Ukraine. But unfortunately, the new Soviet Union may not necessarily need all the former republics, but certainly they are trying to gain more ground on the global platform, which is why they're becoming a little blatant, you know, overflying U.S. bases in Asia and even UK bases in Scotland. Of course, the Snowden situation, I feel, was orchestrated by KGB. Even they still exist, even though they claim they disbanded. And so I think we're seeing a lot of that old Soviet mentality coming back into the modern time.
Stuart, let's get into the Montauk Project, which, of course, echoed the Philadelphia experiment. And let's get into how you were recruited for that and what actually happened. And, you know, as you might remember, the late Al Bielek used to tell us that he jumped from that ship straight to the Montauk Project in his time travel maneuver. But tell me a little bit about how you got involved in that.
Well, there again, it involved because of my family background. We were very closely monitored in the United States. My father was used in a secret work in a base underneath El Paso, Texas, back in the early 1950s. And even after I was born, Secret Service would follow him for several years. And so when I was approximately 13 years old, I was taken into service at Montauk Project. In those days, they initially used what they called expendable people, foster children, derelicts, street people, that kind of thing. And then eventually, as they became more proficient with their work, they started to use the children of military people, government officials, etc. And then they went into the genetic type that they like to use, and I was one of those people.
How long was the project, Stuart, and what's going on today? Is it still around in some form?
No, project ended in 1983. However, both the Soviet Union, the Western European nations, and even China have their own versions of it, which still operate today. And the U.S. Has broken the project up into various sub-projects across the country since the 1980s, and so we see that going on now. Montauk Base right at this moment has been turned into a public park. and a lot of the buildings, most of the buildings have been torn down. But what I find very interesting is that when you go to that location, at least last time I was there a couple of years ago, there were these signs on the ground saying to be careful if you see any unused ordnance or weaponry on the ground, not to touch it, but to report it. So my question is, why would they open a public park knowing that there are these possible dangers lying on the surface?
You would have thought they would have tried to scan it or something. That's crazy. What did they try to accomplish at Montauk, Stuart? What was their goal?
Well, I think if I had a bottom line, that their ultimate goal was to create the programming and mind control globally to turn the population of the Earth into very obedient robots who do what they're told and don't question anything. And unfortunately, I'm kind of seeing that happening all over the place. People really aren't paying attention to what's going on behind the scenes, and that's a little bit scary.
No, you're right. So why did they stop it in 1983?
Well, what happened was the lead psychic, you know who that is, Duncan Cameron.
That's right.
He was the one that was used in the so-called Montauk chair, where his brain waves and imagery in his mind would be downloaded into a computer. Then the frequency would be brought down low so that it could manifest into physical reality molecularly. But after 13 years, they became a little bit lax. People weren't paying attention. Duncan fell asleep on the chair, had a nightmare, generated this so-called monster that Preston called Junior. And this creature started to rip up the base. And the only way...
God.
The only way they could stop it was to destroy the equipment and turn everything off, which is what they did.
Duncan, of course, was on the Philadelphia experiment with Al Bielek as his brother when all this happened. We almost had him on the show, Stuart, a few weeks ago. We're still trying. Something happened, and he had to cancel. And
I heard about that. I was in Australia at the time, and I heard about it. He called here to ask me to replace him, and I wasn't in the country.
So we're going to try again, but I trust he's okay. So this project, then, they wanted this mind control, but as you just pointed out, you're starting to see some of that happening now. So between 1983 and today, 2013, something must have been going on, because we're at the point that they wanted us to be at back in 1983, 30 years ago.
That's right. That's correct. And most of it has been accomplished through the use of satellite transmission of ELF and microwave mind control brainwaves that basically program people while they're going about their daily lives. You see, in the old days, they would have to take a person into an actual programming session physically. But as a result of Montauk Project, they were able to download the programming into computers, send it up into satellites, which then transmit it down to the ground. It's amplified by the cell phone towers and even the electrical companies, which overproduce electricity and then dump it into the ground with carrier waves. And so this is how the population is completely mind-controlled and programmed. I'd say at this point, 2013, about 100% of the world is mind-controlled to some degree or another. There are people who are more specifically programmed and others who are more generally programmed.
What did you think of the secret government program then? And obviously, what do you think of it now?
Well, you know, then I was a teenager and into my 20s, and we were indoctrinated and told that the reason this project had to continue and that what we were doing was good for humanity was because human beings were not capable of directing their own lives and futures, and that if they were left on their own, they would be chaos and destruction. And so in effect, by helping to contribute to mind control and programming, we were helping to save the world. Of course, now, in retrospect, that I've spent many decades deprogramming, I know that the Illuminati plan or the government plan is actually quite devious, and they are planning to stage events further into the future in order to consolidate their control over humanity.
Gosh, that's frightening that these manipulators are out there, Stuart. And what can we do about it?
Well, you know, I spend most of my time now going around the world teaching people how to deprogram, how to balance their mind, how to get their energy fields in proper order, protection techniques, etc., so that we can block these mind control waves and undo the ones that have already taken hold in the mind. And we have to remember that human beings, most human beings, use less than 10% of their brain capacity. 90% is not used. And 97% of your DNA, which is called junk DNA by scientists, is also not used by individuals. So if we open up even a percentage of either one, the brain or the DNA, we would be capable of amazing things, and the mind control would have no power over us.
How do you start mind controlling somebody? How do you get them out of that?
Well, the first thing you have to do is balance the left and right hemisphere of the brain. And I teach a technique where you center at the pineal gland at the very center of the head using royal blue, which is the color of that chakra. And then you see the T bar, which looks like either capital T, a small T, or an Ankh, and you balance it so that the arms are completely perpendicular. And this regulates the thought processes between the left and right hemispheres of the brain, so your thinking doesn't go to extremes. And it also regulates the pituitary gland, hypothalamus, thyroid, and thymus glands, so that the chemical and hormonal flows of your body are also balanced. And when this occurs, mind control cannot take hold. There are also other techniques when you can go into the mind, look at specific programming that you have, and then using certain imagery, undo them, and also use the color violet to flush the programming out. And it works very well if you're consistent and persistent with it.
How strong do you think mind control is to be able to influence events, for example?
Well, I think think right now it's pretty strong. Remember, we're up against very heavy technology, both on the ground and in the atmosphere. We also see the conventional news services globally, which give out certain keywords, create certain stories that trigger people into their programming functions.
Let's get into all of that, Stuart, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got a split show for you tonight. For the first couple hours, Stuart Swerdlow is with us as we talk about the psychic realm and some of the things that he has gone through in his life. His website, expansions.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Go take a look at a little bit of some of the video that we've got that he gave us on our highlight reel. Also a noted author. We'll talk about some of his works in just a moment. So, Stuart, we're talking about these mind control techniques and how they can be applied to people. And you're right. I think some of the media gets involved in it. Government gets involved in it. You know, I remember when the horrible terrorist acts of 9/11 occurred, and they came out with that color-coded system. You know, here, you know, condition yellow, condition red, and here we are. That was a form of mind control. I hated that, didn't you?
Yes, absolutely, you're correct, because the colors are a code that can trigger certain levels of programming functions. And so when you go, for example, to code red or color red, that will trigger assassination programming, a stalker, vigilante, very aggressive types of functions that certain people have in their programming. If they use a code blue, that usually indicates that the programmed person should stop what they're doing and kind of remain on ice until they receive further instructions. And there's a whole series of number codes and letter codes and even codes in other languages that trigger people. And we're seeing that happening now on a global basis. Interestingly, when a person is mind controlled or programmed, they have someone that takes care of their functions, and that person is called a handler. And in Hollywood now, you don't see anyone having a manager or an agent anymore. They have a handler. And that's become kind of in the front now. Everything that was secret in the back is now coming forward into the public.
We have used mind control and the mind to control events, weather, to try to slow down bad hurricanes. You know, we pray for people on Fridays using our minds, and they all seem to work, Stuart. In some cases, maybe a little out of control, but they do seem to work. How do you control something like that?
Well, you can use technology, or you can use, again, that 90% of the brain you're not using and the 97% of your DNA that you're not using. Human beings have an amazing capacity to control and manipulate their bodies, their environment, their experiences. We create everything in our lives. And once we understand how we do that, we can create whatever we wish to create. I always use an analogy where the thoughts are like film, the brain is the projector, and physical reality is the screen. So if you want to change the movie that's playing around you, you got to change the film, which is the way you think. And we need to look at our mind patterns. We need to look at the foundational thought processes that we have developed as children and even that we're born with, and what we're projecting out into the world and reflecting back towards us. And we have the capacity to change all of it and completely change what's going on in the world.
Well, let me tell you, it does work. And I think you're onto something with this and your wife, Janet. You know, after all the things you've been through in your life, you finally found your soulmate, Stuart, didn't you?
Well, I would even say she's my twin soul. Yeah, we're very, very close. And even though we were from opposite sides of the country, we were able to come together. And wow, it's been over 18 years now.
Good for you. Let's talk a little bit about some of your travels, Stuart, and some of the things you've encountered. You've been to Bosnia. You've seen the pyramids a couple times. What's your take on that?
Well, they are real, and I do know that many of the Egyptologists are trying to discredit Dr. Samir Osmanagic, who had discovered the pyramids in Bosnia. I think basically because they don't want the world to find out what's going on there. Now, yes, I've been there. I've been on the pyramids, in the pyramids. There is a vast underground tunnel system that goes on for hundreds of kilometers. They've only started to really uncover them. And the interesting thing is, George, that these tunnels were sealed from the inside. Somebody sealed them from the inside. So that means they go down somewhere else. And having been in those tunnels, I can say that I feel they were not created by human beings. These were some other type of creatures that lived in the earth or under the earth and were able to operate without the use of conventional light as we know it. The pyramids are over 40,000 years old, and there's a whole complex of them in central Bosnia. And they may also connect to other locations in Europe and Africa and Asia. I think that they're all linked up. And interesting, there is a work actually done by Russian scientists who downloaded the energetic signature of the pyramid using their Coriolan photography. And you can see the energy that flows up from under the earth through the pyramid and comes out of the top and goes into the atmosphere, and it's quite impressive.
Huh.
It gives off a tone, a sound that when you slow it down, it sounds like a musical notes, and if you slow it down even further, it even sounds like some kind of a voice. So it's quite a fascinating location.
Now, these pyramids, do they rival the pyramids of Giza in Egypt? Are they that, monstrous?
They are, I believe, three times the size of pyramids. And they are supposedly the Bosnian pyramids are the largest in the world.
And this thought that the tunnels were done from underneath and into the pyramids is pretty fascinating. Where do you think the other end leads out?
Well, that's a very good question. I suspect that these tunnel systems go across Asia, even into Tibet. I know that they go underneath the Mediterranean into the Giza Plateau. And I also feel they have an entrance to the inner earth. And, of course, the excavations are very tedious. They have to be done carefully. They're always finding artifacts that need to be examined. And so, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of money to go full blast into the excavation. So they're working as quickly as they possibly can with volunteers, mainly in the summertime.
Constructed by humans, extraterrestrials, who the heck did it?
Well, interesting that you say that, because Dr. Osmanagic has a download of a stone. I can't really call it a stone. It's kind of a ceramic silicon object with the markings on it, some of which have been deciphered, some have not. But what they have deciphered said that they were under attack and that they were closing the vortex until help could arrive. That's as much as they were able to decipher. So it's quite fascinating.
Well, it sure is. And what's your take on extraterrestrials and the possibility of their visitations here, Stuart?
Well, I have very close experience with those things. I know that they exist. And if you think about, we live in a galaxy of over 100 billion stars, and in a universe of over 100 billion galaxies, it's astronomical, the number of stars that exist. And even if 0.1% had any form of life, that would still be millions of civilizations out there. And of course, we need to also realize that there are infinite parallel universes. So yeah, creation is teeming with life of all sorts.
Do you get frustrated, Stuart, when you're confronted with someone more on the science end who simply says, impossible, we're not being visited, and most likely there may not be any other types of life forms out there in the universe. Does it get to be frustrating?
Well, yes, it's frustrating, but I also realize that most of these scientists have to say certain things, otherwise they could lose their positions, just like many of the meteorologists must talk about global warming and climate change, even though they know it's not true, mm-hmm. Otherwise they lose their jobs. So some of these people are forced into believing or at least regurgitating certain information, even though down deep they may not believe it themselves.
Well, that's true. I mean, there's some things that are politically incorrect. We've got a guest here who's been on the program before who is a meteorologist who has run into incredible problems with his career because he doesn't believe in the man-made global warming theory and believes that we're in an Earth cycle. And, you know, his life, Stuart, has been a living hell because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure of that. And that's part of the mind control and programming, because you must state publicly, anyone who has a public position, they must say what the government wants them to say. Otherwise, they are in great trouble. And I personally do know that we are headed into an ice age. In the beginning of the show, I had heard that little sound clip about that, and I do agree.
Yep.
We are definitely heading into an ice age. I mean, right now, here where I am, we're having a very heavy lake effect snowstorm, which is not unusual, but we had this starting in October.
Well, Robert Felix, who's the person you were just mentioning, he truly believes we're in a mini ice age right now, and as he has explained, it doesn't mean you're going to have winter 12 months out of the year, but that the seasons get shorter and longer depending on which it is. And he believes we're in one right now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I always go back to Russian information because I get a lot of that. And the Russian meteorology departments have stated that we are entering in 2014 an ice age that could last as long as 10,000 years. So, and I believe personally that the oil disaster in the Gulf several years ago, I think it was 2010, it destroyed the Gulf Stream, which is why the hurricane season has died down, the tornado season has died down. We have longer periods of cold now that come earlier. Western Europe is getting colder because there's no more Gulf Stream to warm it. And I think that as years go by, in the next few years, we're going to see the ice age develop. The North Pole, where I was just this past July, the ice sheets have increased 60% in 1 year.
Yet we keep hearing stories that they're all melting away.
Well, you know, it's funny, George, is that you hear these stories in July and August here in the Northern Hemisphere. You say, oh, there's open water at the North Pole. Yeah, it's because it's summertime. But they don't tell you those stories in January.
No.
You know, I think that's interesting. And unfortunately, the public doesn't pay attention. They just believe whatever they're told for the most part because they're so concerned about their economics.
That's a good point. You're a gifted medical intuitive. Exactly what is that?
Well, what that means is, and that was a result also of the Montauk Project, they created the person who could see into other realities without the use of a device. And I, for the lack of a better term, I'm kind of like a human MRI machine where I can look at a person, I can see their organs, the energy field, what needs to be corrected. I also can see the mind patterns that generate with the archetype symbols and colors. And I discuss that with people when I do consultations, and I suggest supplements or imageries, visualizations to correct whatever issues that I see come up.
Are you a healer as well, or merely the intuitive who can see the problem?
I don't like to call myself a healer because that opens up a whole other door of things. I can help people be healed, but I prefer to teach people how to heal themselves. You know, it's that old Chinese saying, when you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. When you teach him how to fish, you feed him for life.
That's
and so
true.
I like to teach people how to heal themselves, and then they can teach other people and so on. And then it becomes much more long-lasting. And I think when enough people learn how to do this, it can actually turn the tide of what's going on in the world.
Well, I think so too. And you know, if you looked at 10 people, Stuart, how many of them do you think would be ill in some form or fashion? I would think it would be a high percent.
Yeah, unfortunately, even in daily life, when I look around, a lot of people, I'll say 75 to 85%, have something wrong with them. And many don't even know it.
That is high. Well, that's the scary part. They don't know it. Because, you know, if they did know about it, they might be able to take some precautions to fight this, whatever they had.
Yeah, but then they go and they buy food in the supermarket, which I call plastic food that's not real and that doesn't have any nourishment whatsoever. And then they develop all kinds of illnesses, and then the doctor gives them pills, and the pills have side effects, so they take pills for the side effects. And before you know it, they're taking a basket of pills every day.
That's true. It never seems to end, does it?
No, and it affects the liver, the brain, the kidneys, all the major organs.
What do you see right now through your work as one of the biggest issues right now? The mind control, the health of people, what is it?
Well, I'd say all of the above. But I think on a physical level, a big issue is the blood sugar, diabetic conditions. I think a lot of people don't realize they have this and they're eating the wrong things. From an emotional perspective, I think a lot of people have abandonment issues and self-sabotage and self-punishment that needs to be released. And from a mental perspective, I see a lot of people do obviously have the mind control, but they also have a lot of depression and anger. So all of these are factors that contribute to the global situation. And these are the things that people should be working on individually and collectively.
Stuart, how many people who may have been under the influence of mind control end up going into institutions, or people are just, you know, they're being put away?
I think that a high percentage of people who are in mental institutions and who are in prison system, the federal prison system, I think many of them have programming activations, which really could be fixed if they had the proper treatment. The U.S. imprisons a higher percentage of its population than any other country in the world, more than China and Russia, for example. And we also put more people in mental institutions than anywhere else. And I think that if people were to detox their body, do their release work, their deprogramming, they would not be in those situations.
Well, you know, most people, if they went up to somebody and said, I'm hearing voices in my head, I'm convinced somebody's bombarding these things at me, I know they're trying to control my mind, I would think most people who are on the receiving end of hearing that probably think, this person might be a little out of it. What do you think?
Well, isn't that what we've heard with most of the shooters in recent times?
Sure.
Where they said they heard voices in their heads telling them to do things, and yet they were put on medications, or sometimes they were institutionalized, and yet they were released to perform their activities of shooting people. This is a very common situation. I know for a fact that if you go to a psychiatrist or even a psychologist, and you say, I'm hearing voices, or I think I'm mind-controlled or programmed, they will put you in an institution.
And the prescription drugs pop out and everything else, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there again, you have to be careful what you say, and you have to go to the right person who understands and knows how to treat these things.
Stuart, when we come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, I want to talk about electronic mind control and how people are being bombarded by this. Plus, we'll take some phone calls with you, Stuart Swerdlow, our special guest, and one of his books, Healer's Handbook. The other one, of course, Blue Blood, Hyperspace Helper, True Blood. All of that you can get at his website, expansions.com, linked at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with your calls and more questions with Stuart Swerdlow on Coast to Coast AM.